I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Over the last year during my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. Over the next few weeks, I'll be talking to people who inspire me and women who I believe you, the listener, will benefit greatly by listening to. Honored to be joined today by Tignam.
Thank you. Thank you, Georgie. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. When I was going through treatment in the Beacon and I went in every week for chemotherapy, my chemotherapy nurse and myself, Grace, we got on really well and she put me on to you.
No.
So every week we'd go in to see what Tignam was doing over the weekend.
Stop.
And we just, she tried to find things, you know, to chat to me about and distract me
and
from
keep
chemo.
You focused on something else other than treatment. Yeah,
yeah.
I can
so
understand that.
We always chatted about you. And so thanks for your lovely content. And it's enjoyed so much by so many people.
It's just incredible to hear that, because when people say that to me all the time and they message me about it, I suppose when I'm on camera, I don't really think about the viewers too much because I just focus on what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I always, you know, sometimes forget that there's so many people watching. And when they get in contact with through the DMs and stuff, it really just kind of resonates that this is actually, you know, I have a platform here. I can talk and people are listening and it's making a difference. And it's just overwhelming. I just love it. I love to hear that. And I'm very flattered that that's how you got in contact with me and found me on social media. That it's just crazy. I can't get my head around it, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. And your name is Melissa Mills Barry. Such a beautiful name.
Thank you.
And you're not just a social media influencer. You've created a brand. You're a businesswoman. You've started up a business. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so social media at the beginning, I suppose I started like on social media about 5 years ago, but like anyone, it was just, I'm a mother, I have two kids, I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, and it was just my way of just escaping, just being a mother, because nobody just wants to be mom. I kind of missed my identity, that, you know, Melissa, the old Melissa, and I kind of found through social media talking about beauty and talking about fashion, which I love, and lots of other content that and family life that people were really engaging, and it was just taking my mind off. It was a little bit of me time, you know, on camera, and I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I definitely didn't see it growing or getting big. Never even thought about that. Just organically did it naturally. And then the following started to grow. And I've always had a passion about designing my own robes. It's hard to explain, but for over 10 years now, we've been going to Mauritius, and I just love Mauritius so much. And I personally love to wear cotton robes and cotton pajamas. I don't really like to wear anything too heavy. And I was always saying to my husband, I definitely think the women of Ireland need to, you know, experience something like this. I think they'll love it. And I think at the beginning, he didn't think it would work because we are in a cold climate and people like their comfort at home. But I was looking outside the box and thinking, you know, when women are at home, they want to be comfortable. They, you know, the house get hot. They don't want to overheat. You know, I find myself peeling off my clothes the minute I get in the door because it's, you know, sleeves up, empty dishwasher, make the mm-hmm. beds, do whatever I need to do. And I don't want to be restricted. So I always felt really glamorous in those type of clothing. So eventually, as my following grew, I got a little bit more confident and I thought, you know what, I'm really going to do this. I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do. I want to call it MMB. I want to design my own robes. And Azra was 100% behind me. So we got cracking on that and we launched our company last November. And it's just been so fantastic. Like it's done so well and people love them, and I'm bringing out new prints, and it's just something I've always wanted to do, and I just love it.
And robes, I suppose there's something kind of lovely about getting into a robe, and that's what I've written down here. Your robes bring joy, and that's what they bring, just a sense of like self-care, and you're kind of looking after yourself and you're getting into your comfy clothes. And
I think it's so important, especially when you're a mother, to find time for yourself. The way I find time for myself is I have I'm very strict on routine when it comes to the children. So I try to get up before they get up for school, prepare everything, try and think about what plans I have for the day. And there's picking up, dropping off, swimming. There's drama. There's, you know, as they get older, you've got a 2-year-old, so you probably don't have that yet, Georgie, but in a few years you'll have all of that. And it's running around here and there. And for me, when the kids and the kids go to bed at a certain time every night, I just like to switch off, have my shower, shave my legs, put on my fake tan maybe once a week, put on a face mask, and put in a hair mask even, and just give myself that time. Maybe put on a Netflix movie for myself and Az, or have a cup of tea and catch up on our day. And that's how I unwind. That's how I have my, that's my self-care. That's how I look after myself. And I think it's really important for women to do that. I'm always encouraging women to get up, have a shower, even when you're having a really down day. Put your skinny jeans on, even if it's just putting on a little bit of makeup or a little bit of lipstick. It's going to make you feel better. I kind of feel like I can do anything in the day once I've done that.
Once you're ready to face the day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, even if it's just a jumper and a pair of jeans. But once my hair and my makeup is groomed, I feel like I can conquer anything.
I think you're the most perfectly groomed person I have ever seen. Because obviously I've watched you online. I've never met you in real life. So walking in here today, look like exactly the way you do on Instagram. That it's not filters. It's your skin is glowing.
Thank you.
You look so healthy and beautiful.
Do you know what? I think as you get older as well, you become a little bit more, you kind of pare it back a little bit, but you become a little bit more aware of looking after yourself and looking after your skin. And like, I'm in my early 40s. I'm not getting any younger. And I think it's so important to look after your skin. Take your makeup off before you go to bed. Try and drink as much water as you can, although I'm working on that a lot lately. And I'd be very conscious of my skin more than makeup for me, Georgie. I know that I follow some bloggers and they're all about makeup, and I do love makeup, but for me, if I were to have a choice, skincare over makeup,
yeah,
any day.
Because I suppose your makeup wears off and you're left with your face.
Exactly. And I don't always wear makeup, you know. This morning there wasn't really a whole lot of effort made. My hair needed to be washed and I didn't have time, so I've tied it in a ponytail and I've just put on a little bit of tinted moisturiser and some lipstick. But it took about 5 minutes, and I probably did most of that in the car on the way, Georgie, to be honest. But I have it down to a fine art.
You're a multitasker. You're a mum.
I think you have to be. Yeah, you definitely have to be.
So your brand grew then. It's not just robes now, it's interiors.
So last year we were invited to a show in Paris, and I thought, you know, I'll go and have a look and I'll just see what's out there. I didn't really want to add anything to the website. I just saw myself doing robes and eventually going into pyjamas and loungewear as such. And I went to the show with an open mind and I thought, you know what, I focused a lot in the past on Interiors Tuesday. I don't know if you followed me long enough to see my Interiors Tuesday, but I did do Interiors Tuesday every Tuesday because I'm very house proud and I love interiors. And I thought, you know what, maybe I'll bring interiors to the website. They won't be my own designs, but they'll be handpicked by me with a lot of love. There'll be things that I would love in my own home and that I think the viewers would love. And it just went so well. And we've continued to do that. So we do the homewares and we do the robes and throws and baskets and all different types of things and things that I absolutely love. So
because you clearly have very good taste. Were you just born?
Thank you.
Were you born with that kind of a good eye?
I think so. I think, I don't know. I just love fashion. I love homewares. I mean, if in my feed, you'll probably find like that. There's a good mixture of everything. You know, there's the home life. There's the mom stuff. There's I pretty much hit on everything there is. And I don't plan it. It all happens very organically. Then there might be the skincare routine. And then, so I don't know. I think I just always had a good eye. My husband tells me I have a very good eye. And of course, the viewers tell me I have a very good eye. But I just know what I like.
What's it like now when you're going out and you're getting on with your daily life and people recognise you? Like, where did the name, do people call you Tignum or Melissa?
Yes, it's funny because, well, when I first started out in social media, I probably took myself too serious and I didn't want to have a social media account like Snapchat or Instagram, especially Snapchat, because I saw it for the younger people. And I didn't want anyone judging me because I was far too caught up about what people thought of me and what people would think of me if they saw me on social media and who does she think she is, or look at her, you know, prancing around the place. And, you know, I thought they'd have too much of an opinion on me. And so I pretty much just plucked this name from the sky. I can't even hit the nail on the head. I just didn't want my name to be Melissa Mills Barry. I kind of wanted people to find just another name. And Tignam just came about, and I said it to my husband at the time. I said, what do you think of the name Tignam for a social media account? And of course, he thought it was hilarious and thought, it doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what that word is. And it just stuck.
It's fab.
I've just used it since. Now, because I have my own business and I'm Melissa Mills Barry, I'm trying to pull it back a little bit and for people to know that it's not Tignam, it is Melissa Mills Barry, and to be taken a little bit more seriously. But I think Tignam is a good catchy name because people remember it.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody like your nurse telling you should follow this girl called Tignam, it's not a name that you're going to forget in a few minutes. You're going to remember it. So I think it's probably a good thing that I came up with that name, but it's just stuck.
So
there's no getting rid of it.
And your husband is like my husband, Jamie. Like, I would never just turn the camera on him. And I don't know why. I think, you know, he works in media, but he works behind the scenes.
But it's because you know them. You know, you know their personality and you know what they're like. I know when I'm in a situation with Azar and we're out and about, if it's a good idea to involve him in the camera. You know, we have the very rare date night, and I might, you know, have a chat with him in the car on the way, and or I might be turning my eyes up to heaven with the music he's playing or something, and he sees the funny side to that. But that would be it. He's very, very private, so I don't really have him on my feed very much. The kids are 100% involved, but, and he's fine with that actually. But no,
it's hard to start, I think, putting yourself out there. Like, when I got sick, my friend Audrey said to me, I basically went on Instagram stories to say thank you to people because I did an interview on Today FM. And my friend Audrey rang me and said, you should do more. And I said, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And like you
about being on camera.
Yeah. And like, who does this person think she is? And you just feel
or
kind of self-conscious.
Why would they want to look at me?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would they want to listen to anything I have to say?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's so many people listening to this podcast who feel like they have something to say, but they're too embarrassed to say
They shouldn't be, because I've learned, and I think it comes with age, but I've learned as I got older to care less about what people think about me and to focus on things that are important, like my family life, what my husband thinks of me, what my children think of me, what my family think of me. And I think above all, they're all the things that resonate with me. Thinking about what other people think of me on camera or what I'm talking about doesn't even cross my mind anymore.
And that's something that you've gone on a journey there, and maybe before you would have been more sensitive. And
of course, because obviously I've never had the camera in front of me before. You know, I've never talked to thousands and thousands of people. Eventually, over time, you probably find that now when you're on camera, you get a little bit more used to it. I mean, the camera is just the camera to me. You know, as I said, I forget about the audience behind the camera. It's only when the DMs come in and the interaction comes in that you realise there's actually people watching. But while I am filming, I am only talking to camera, nobody else.
You've obviously, for a long time, have put up glamorous things and your gorgeous life and your beautiful children. And then over the last year, you have opened up about something that I don't think is spoken about a lot, because it's a very difficult
topic. It's not spoken about at all.
And it's something you decided that you wanted to tell your story.
Yeah, I think, I did because, well, I'll explain to the viewers firstly. I had like probably the toughest year of my life last year. And you know what that's like, Georgie, you know, going through a dark patch in your life. It's just like you can't explain it to anybody. But myself and Azar decided the year before last to try for one more baby. And I'll be 43 this April. And it's kind of always crossed my mind that, do I really want to be trying for another baby when I'm 45 or, you know, when I'm 46? Like, you know, if you're going to do it now.
Yeah.
I thought the kids were a really good age as well to introduce a third baby. And having been pregnant twice before and having great pregnancies, I just went, got on with it. We found out we were pregnant last February, and we were away in Mauritius at the time. And it was like any couple, when they find out they're pregnant, it's It's magical. It's a feeling you can't describe, especially when it's something you really want. And we went on to carry for almost 10 weeks and we went for an early scan. And that's pretty much when it all happened. Sorry, I hope I don't start crying here.
Take your time. It's such a difficult thing to speak about.
Well, I speak about it so often. I often think, you know, do the tears ever end? But they don't. There was no heartbeat. And I suppose I didn't see that coming. I kind of thought, you go for an early scan. I did it on the rest of my kids. And that it would be fine. But I was explained that sometimes that happens. And I just got on with it. I went in for my D&C. And I found myself lying to the viewers. I was pretending I was sick. Okay. I was pretending I had the flu. And it just didn't sit right with me. After a while of pretending that I wasn't well, I just kind of opened up to the viewers a little bit and told my story. And I just couldn't believe the reaction it got. There's so many women out there that have gone through miscarriage and they just don't talk about it. And I kind of thought, like, why should we be ashamed of talking about that? It's nothing to be ashamed about. You haven't done anything wrong. So I got a little bit stronger and I got on with it. And I think the thing that kept me busy and focused was my kids, because I think if I didn't have Hannah or Seth, I would have been a little bit lost, because there would have been nothing keeping me going, you know,
yeah,
to get up for
the
them.
Focus on them
and
keeps you going.
You know, Hannah and Seth don't know anything.
Okay.
We decided on our first pregnancy to not tell the kids. And it was probably the best decision ever, because, you know, after like 6-7 weeks, you kind of want to just tell your kids, you know, your exciting news. But I was so glad. It was actually me that wanted to tell the kids, and Azard convinced me not to. And I'm so thankful for that, because could you imagine trying to explain to a 10-year-old, you know, the situation?
But it was the last thing from your mind that was that was going to happen.
No. And so we went on. The year just got harder. I just really didn't see it coming. But I've had two more pregnancies since, so three pregnancies last year, and we lost on each pregnancy. So I carried for 10 weeks on the first pregnancy. It was a very small pregnancy on the second. It was 4 weeks, but it was still my pregnancy. And we went on to have a third miscarriage at nearly 7 weeks. And I think that was really hard for me to accept, because it was just something that we wanted so badly. And I just couldn't believe that I would never put myself in that category of someone that would have a miscarriage, considering I had two healthy pregnancies and two kids. And I felt a little bit let down by the system as well. Like, I remember lying in the bed on my third DNC in the hospital, and I remember out of nowhere this lady coming to see me, and she introduced herself as somebody who worked for the Reoccurring Miscarriage Centre, and she was saying, like, we're here to help you. And I felt so let down by the system, because I was looking at her thinking, I've had to lose three babies and now you're here to help me. Mm-hmm. And I was so angry. I remember leaving the hospital and I was feeling really numb, and I'd been through it all before and I just knew what to expect. And I went home, and Azar was a huge support. He was looking after the kids and keeping them busy. And I think they just understood that I was in for a problem with my tummy. And I remember going home and thinking, like, in this country, I did my research, in this country, you have to have three miscarriages before anybody considers even saying, well, we're going to look into it now and we're going to find out why this is happening, because it shouldn't be happening and we need to know why. So I just decided, after speaking to Azar, to take it into my own hands. And when I was strong enough, I found Dr. Phil Boyle from the Neo Fertility Clinic in the Beacon. And I had done my research on him, and his name had popped up in my story so many times from other people who had gone through with him and said he's helped me. And I'm 2 months into the program, and I'm on medication and injections, and I really don't know where it's going to go. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I know that I'm stronger than I thought I was, and I'm not prepared to let to let it go. Like I'm going to fight another year and see. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And if it does, then at least I know I've given it my everything.
It's just unbelievable, and you're so strong and incredible, and a voice
Thank
for
you.
Other women that are going through this in silence.
So many women going through it. It's crazy.
I feel like this happens to women and they don't even tell their friends.
No, you're right, because after my second miscarriage, two of my friends spoke to me, called me, and they were so lovely, and they opened up and said, well, you know, they've had a miscarriage, and these are people I talk to that I'm friendly with, and they've never mentioned it. I was shocked by that, because that made me want to talk about it even more, because I just felt, I know I've mentioned it before and I've hit on it before, but I just felt, why should women be ashamed and be afraid to talk about something that should be talked about? Miscarriage is massive in this country. It's one in every four women having a miscarriage. And the statistics just shocked me. I was floored. I couldn't believe that. And I couldn't believe that I was one of those people. But the amount of people that contact me on my social media that tell me that they're going through the same and they've gone through a miscarriage. I had a message from someone last week, and I was shopping in Dundrum, and I took time to sit down and send her a message back. I sent her a video message back, and she was in hospital. She had just had her DNC, and she said that, you know, you got me through it. And another lady sent me a message a few days later saying that she was going in for a DNC. What should she be expecting? Can I prepare her in any way? It's just incredible that people reach out to you, because, you know, and the best thing for you to do is make them obviously feel like they shouldn't be ashamed of anything. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a really hard ride, but you get through it.
I was the same with people reaching out to me when they'd been diagnosed with cancer. Does that give you strength?
Massively. My mother's a cancer survivor as well. And, you know, that was a dark time of our lives as well, when my mother was going through breast cancer. But she came through the other end, and she was a fighter. And I think women are, like I said before, women are very, very strong. We're stronger than we think. And we're pretty much able to juggle it all, family life, sickness. I think you're incredible for what you've gone through. I haven't followed your journey, but from what I've read about you and listening to you now, I think you're
Thank
amazing.
You. How do you get yourself through those times?
The dark days.
Mm.
It's the kids. It's the innocence in them. It's when they come into the room and they give you a kiss and they tell you they love you, or what's wrong, mommy? Why are you sad? And they come and give you a hug, or they sing you one of their songs, or something, or Azra will come home from work and put the kettle on and put a hot water bottle in the bed, or just ask me if I'm okay, or get a takeaway. All those little things are huge to me.
It's your normality.
It's your normality, yeah, and trying to keep it as normal as possible. And my only worry with the whole lot was that it was going to affect the kids if they found out anything, or if they knew anything, especially Seth, because he's nearly 11 and he's very clued in.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, they're fine and we just get on with it. It's just the kids, Georgie. It's the kids that keep me going. It really is. I'd be lost without Hannah and Seth.
Yeah. They clearly are the light of your life.
They are. They mean everything to me. And I'm a very hands-on mother. I don't have any home help. I don't have a nanny. I don't have anyone that can come in and take over. I take them to work with me when I need to, and I just set up a little station for them to do their thing. I try not to stay and work too long with them, because I know it's not really fair. I'm very conscious of the time I have with them. I do a movie with them at the weekend. I have a kind of a rule in my house at the weekend that I don't do much cooking. Azra doesn't like that rule very much. But
this is a good rule. I think I need it. Yeah,
it's a great rule. I'm doing cooking Monday to Friday, so I think it should be nice to have 2 days off from cooking. So we eat out the weekends and we do something special together as a family, because Azra trades 6 days a week, so he trades on a Sunday as well. So it's really hard to try and find family time, but we make time and we find it somewhere.
How do you feel now, looking ahead to 2019? Do you feel like, with my cancer, I feel like the world as I knew it is so different? I'm obviously clearly scarred by the trauma of what happened to me. I feel insecure at times.
Scared.
So scared of what's to come, afraid of my own shadow at times. Sometimes I kind of just can't believe, I look at my life from the outside in and I can't believe it happened to me. This is something that happens to other people. And then you find yourself and you're one of these people. Are you scared of 2019 or can you find the positivity?
I have to see the positivity in it. Now that I'm seeing Dr. Boyle and I'm hoping that we get a pregnancy, because I am getting pregnant. I mean, if I get pregnant again this year, it will be my sixth pregnancy, you know, and there's a lot of women that follow me out there that are going through NEO and they're going through IVF and they can't get pregnant. And so I definitely think I have one foot in the door. And so I'm not scared of 2019. I'm a little bit of excited, but I'm not going to lie. There's a little bit of me that's like, what if this happens again? And it's possible it might happen again. Am I strong enough to keep going? And I think that just scares me a little bit. But I try not to think about what's going to happen tomorrow, Georgie. I'm very much about what's happening today. You know, I'm already thinking about when I leave here of all the things I need to do today. I'm not thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a really amazing way to live your life. And I'm trying to learn how to do that. The NEO fertility, have you gotten reassurance as part of your journey?
No, I don't think they can give you reassurance as such. I'm on the right medication. I'm hoping that when I do get pregnant, there's another plan for a different medication and that I just need to hold on to the pregnancy. And if that happens, then fantastic. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. It won't be easy to close the book if I find out that I can't get pregnant again and it's just not going to happen. As I say, I'm turning 43 in April, and that's kind of scary as well because I don't feel 43.
You don't look it either.
Thank you. And I think that a little bit of that scares me as well, that, you know, closing, having the finalization of if it doesn't happen, you know, can I move on from it? But I think I will be able to, but it'll be really, really hard. But I'm a fighter. I'm not prepared to give up. I'm keeping busy with MMB. I'm bringing out new product soon. I'm trying to keep focused on so many other things that's happening in my life that, and that's another huge thing. But for me, it can't be the be all and end all. Like, I have to carry on my life. And that's what I'm trying to do.
For your brand, what would you love to do next? Is there anything in particular? Like, do you write lists of, like, this is what I hope will happen? Or
yeah, always. I'm bringing out something really exciting for Valentine's. I think you'll love it. The print is beautiful. It's very me. And I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do next. I think about everything down to packaging, what I need to change. What I need to work on. Do I need to source another manufacturer to make the product even better? I'm always thinking ahead. I'm always thinking ahead and I'm always jotting down notes and I'm always running them by Azar, and he's a really great support and he loves my ideas. I'm very lucky. I have some girls working in the warehouse, some of our designers, and they're fantastic and they do a lot of work for me as well, and I'd be lost without them. I wouldn't be able to do it on my own. So everybody has an idea and I'm prepared to listen, and it's great.
What are your healthy habits? You obviously take time for yourself and you have baths and things like that, but what kind of are your rituals?
Well, we don't eat a lot of fast food. We don't eat a lot of fried food. We don't eat greasy food as such. I did fall off the bandwagon last weekend, and I had a couple of McDonald's. I mean, I do let go. I am guilty of that.
We're not perfect.
Crisps for dinner. No, I'm generally very healthy. We eat a lot of salads at home. Myself and Azar are very conscious of what we're giving the kids as well. We don't drink fizzy drinks. We don't buy them into the house. As a matter of fact, my son is 11 and he's never had a fizzy drink. So I just think we're very conscious of... we wouldn't be the healthiest family now, but we do our best. It wouldn't be organic. But I try to cook a healthy dinner for the kids every evening if I can.
If anyone is looking for inspiration on their kids' lunchboxes, Melissa is the person to follow because they are spectacular.
Do you know what? I have to, because Hannah is a terrible eater. I mean, there's probably... a lot of people listening right now that have one of those fussy eaters. And she's, yeah, is she really?
Really
your
bad.
Daughter?
Yeah.
Hannah is the same. And also she's a vegetarian, which is really, really crazy because we all eat meat in our house. We eat chicken, we eat meat. You know, we've never, ever even mentioned the word vegetarian before. And Hannah associates meat with the animal.
Okay.
She'll see us eating chicken and she'll say, was it the mommy or the daddy? it's crazy because I'd say to Azra, where did she see this? You know, this is crazy. So my friend Carrie is a vegetarian. She just explained she was a vegetarian from a very young age as well. So not to push her. So trying to find anything to put in Hannah's lunchbox, even if it means cutting a smiley face out of a piece of bread, I have to do it because otherwise she just won't eat it. So I do put a lot of love into their lunchboxes. And also I know that they're eating healthy when I'm not around. And the lunchboxes itself are very clever. They're from Yumbox and so they've got little compartments. So mm-hmm. I think she likes the idea of opening her box every day and stuff and seeing what surprises
are
today.
In there.
Yeah, and I'm really bad. I get up in the morning and I do the lunch boxes because I, even though I'm organised, I don't like to make them the night before. I like them to be fresh on the morning. So I give myself extra work. So I'm in a panic getting up in the morning, you know, getting the uniforms ready, and I spoil my kids. I might throw them in the tumble dryer and warm them up for them before
Melissa,
they... Honestly.
That is amazing.
I know. I'd stick them in the dryer, then bring them up the stairs. Now, I'm not always doing that, but... And the kids love it. So if I can do any little thing so they're happy running out the door, as it does the school drop, which takes a lot of pressure off me because it means when he goes with the kids to school, I can actually jump in the shower and just literally get myself ready for the day, have a coffee... And then just run out the door because I try to juggle my time between work, kids, home. It's
so you're picking them up from school.
So I do all the pickups and the drop-offs.
Homework
to all the stuff. Yeah, homework. Yeah, homework's not too bad. Seth is very independent. He's great. He just gets on with it. And then Hannah might need a little bit of help, but she doesn't really get a whole lot because she's only in junior infants. So it's good at the moment.
You travel a lot as a family as well.
Our thing is holidays. We love to travel. We're already trying to think about somewhere we can take the kids on midterm. I think it's because Azra works so hard all year and I'd be equally the same. We kind of find that if we have any time off at all, we just like to get away. And we're foodies as well. We love our food. And so we just love to go away, try something new, eat new foods, experience a new culture. We went to Italy last summer for 3 weeks with the kids and we travelled all around Italy, Positano, Capri. And it was just so nice to do with the kids. And I think it was really, really nice. Seth really enjoyed it. And he's getting to that age now where he wants to explore and he wants to go and visit. And
he's getting involved in the planning.
He's getting involved, yeah. And I think it's really nice. We love that.
Clearly, you're only really... getting positivity from people. Like the same with myself on my Instagram, like I've never had a bad comment, or like people are just really nice and really supportive. And it's I feel like the people who support you are the same. They're like really encouraging and happy for you.
I have a great bunch of viewers and I'm really happy with that. Obviously, I think my views a month are huge on my Instagram feed itself, but my following is well, I would say it's very small, 27,000, 28,000. And I think, I often think, are people are generally sometimes very nosy. I mean, look, it's all built in.
Yeah.
Everybody has a little bit of a nosy side to them. Let's check in and see what this person is doing. And you find that you get a lot of views and then no interaction as such. But then you get the chunk of people that are really loyal and that interact, send messages, comment, like. And that's really reassuring. Yes, I've had the odd negative message. I'm not going to lie. But again, I've learned how to deal with that in a really humbling way. Not to send any kind of aggressive messages back, or, you know, to take it with a pinch of salt, because there is crazy people out there that'll screenshot your message and post it all over forums and all kinds of things. And those things go through my mind. So I'm always very polite and I'm always very politely able to block very quickly as well. So
how do you keep things exciting in terms of date night and make time for your relationship? Because I think it's so hard when you've got kids to do stuff together.
Yeah, it is. We're not too crazy about going out. I can't explain that. Like when we do get out, we really enjoy ourselves. But Azra's not a drinker. He doesn't drink. ever. So kind of feel like if we were going to go out, our ideal night is to go out for a meal. I might have a couple of glasses of wine and we just have a chat and just have a nice meal and then go home to the kids. Like, you know, we're not going to clubs. We're mm-hmm. not going and we go out with friends as well. We love to eat out with friends and have the chat. But we're equally as happy just to have a movie at home when the kids are in bed.
It's funny. Myself and Jamie are like that too. So like our out is kind of just staying in with the steak and a bottle of wine.
Do you know what? I think that's lovely too. Other people would see that as being that's not really getting out and getting away from everything. But it for me, it is like we put on that movie last week that everybody in the whole universe was talking about called the one with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah. No, that's too scary for me. Is it the blindfold one?
Yes.
No, I can't.
So we watched it and we were hilarious because we watched 20 minutes and we turned it off. We were both the same. We were like, why do people watch these movies? And then we went back the next night and continued to watch the rest of the movie. But we'd completely ruined it for ourselves because that buzz of what's going to happen next was kind of gone because we'd already done 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then we went back and resumed it. But we were laughing at ourselves because we were both hiding underneath the covers in the sitting room watching it. And we're both grown adults, but no, we love to do that. And that's our kind of way of escaping. And Azra would be like, I'll put the kettle on, or did you buy any biscuits? And I you know, we just love that.
You're so like a natural mum though, aren't you? Like you're a very loving person.
Well, I think so. And like I touched on the subject, I think, last week. And I think a huge amount of that reflects in my kids, but I co-slept with Hannah and Seth, obviously not together, but I co-slept with Seth for 4 years. Never saw that coming, just had them in the bed with me. I had had such a traumatic birth with Seth. I was like, wasn't prepared to move anywhere. I was kind of like, just have him in the bed, it's grand. But he was in the bed with us till he was four. And I kind of thought, oh, this is not really fair on Azar. Like, then I got pregnant and I kind of thought, I can't really have the whole lot of us in the bed together. It's just not going to work. Although I would have been happy with that.
Yeah.
We did the transition with Seth and then we had Hannah in. And I think a lot of the co-sleeping and a lot of that, like, you know, being close to my kids and just everybody being together. And I think you probably see with Seth, he's such a loving boy. He's, you know, he's very affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
He has the most lovely nature about him. And I don't know if that's got to do with co-sleeping, but we're a very loving family. When we're at home, we tell each other we love each other. We kiss each other. Myself and Azra would kiss each other in front of the kids, give each other a hug. And Seth might get very embarrassed about it and say, oh, you know.
Yeah,
he's getting to that age where he's like, Mom, Dad, please don't do this to me. But no, we're a very affectionate, loving family and we are very open with the kids. We pretty much tell them, you know, what we're doing. We get them involved. If there's change happening, we tell them a week before it's happening so that they're prepared. So we're fairly open, chatty family. And I think we've always been like that. The kids love being in my feed. So it's very organic when I'm at home. I would never plan on just turning the camera on the kids. It's all very natural.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're around, they're around. And they love checking in with the kids. They love the cuteness of Hannah. You know, she comes out with some crackers and they're just lovely kids to have around.
And would they would get recognised, would they now, the kids?
They would. And that can be a little bit freaky as well. You know, for in Dundrum, I remember a lady approaching Hannah, not approaching me, and saying, hi, Hannah, how are you?
Stop.
And you're so cute. And I was really nice to the lady, but I was kind of like looking at her thinking, how do you know Hannah? And she said, oh, I follow you on social media, so I recognised her. But I kind of thought, like, why she wouldn't just say hello to me first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hannah was a little bit nervous and a little bit scared, so she was kind of hiding behind my leg, and she's normally not like that. But and that can be a little bit unusual.
Well,
people mean the best. People are lovely. They're generally, like, you know, they just want to say hello, which is really nice.
Yeah, people are so supportive. And I think there is a lot of the thing that I've learned from getting sick is there's actually so many incredible people, incredible supportive people out there.
Massively,
you know,
yeah.
And that's something that I suppose I was just going about my daily business and not really noticing things like that before. Mm-hmm. But then it took me to get really sick to realise people are so supportive and a lot of people just want the best for you. I think it's going to be a huge year for you. I think a lot of people are going to want a little bit of Tignum in 2019. Yeah, I think so. And people are really engaging with your life now and your story. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're so honest and that's a huge part of your appeal as well.
I kind of feel like I have to be honest because like I don't know how long you've followed me now, Georgie, but I don't always come on camera with my makeup on. Like I like to keep it a little bit pared back and a little bit real too, you know. You know, there's days where I don't even want to have a shower because they're the down days, but they're the days I have to just pull myself together and I have those days. I definitely do. I don't have it together all the time. You know, I know people kind of look at you and they think, well, she's got the perfect life. She's going here. She's going there. She's got lovely things. But those things are just material to me. You know, it's about living in the moment and really enjoying and appreciating everything that you have and being really grateful for that. And that last year has kind of taught me, and probably you as well, it's taught me to live in the moment and just really hold on and appreciate everything that you do have now. Because you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So that's why I don't like to think about tomorrow, just today.
It's amazing advice and beautiful words. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you
so
much.
For this year, for you and your family. And thank you for being so honest and sharing your story on my podcast today. Like, I know it was a very difficult thing for you to do and I appreciate you. And I'm sure you will help a lot of people.
Thank you so much for having me, Georgie. Honestly, when I opened your email and you asked me to be here today, I was a little bit shocked, to be honest, but it really, really touched me. And so I was really excited to be here today. So I'm delighted that I was able to have this chat with you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast. Please subscribe so you can be the first to hear about new episodes. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review. You can check out thegoodglow.ie for more on my story and follow me on Instagram @GeorgieJCrawford.